In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christmas night is when God came to earth. And on Christmas Eve, this time of communion is a time we each stop to rest in the blur of what this holiday has become. And tonight, in the quietness, with our hearts gathered to worship, we lift our grateful hearts to the God become man, to the baby who was born to die, and to the Savior who came to become sin for each of us. Christmas Eve, it's our time, like those who first witnessed Christ's birth, for us to also bow in utter unworthiness at his feet, and for us also to lay our treasures at his feet. Matthew's story of the wise men follows what Jeff just read in the book of Matthew. And basically, shortly after the birth of the Messiah, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. They inquired of King Herod where the real king of the Jews was to be born. And the theologians of Herod's court knew the scriptures well. They recited, "In Bethlehem of Judea." Ironically, though they knew the scriptures, they did not believe them. They did not even bother to travel the 5 or 6 miles to Bethlehem in order that they might see their Messiah. Herod believed the scriptures. That's why he sent a corps of butchers to Bethlehem. He had them slaughter innocent children. But he was too late. The Magi had come and gone, and Jesus was now safe in Egypt. The Magi believed the scriptures. They had traveled hundreds of miles to worship this babe. And when they saw the child, they fell down and they worshiped him. And they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was an unusual present by any standards. The gold, of course, we can all understand, but frankincense and myrrh, those are odd. Myrrh, like frankincense, was a perfume. But unlike frankincense used by priests, myrrh smelled of death. In the ancient world, it was used to embalm corpses. Jesus himself would be embalmed with this very perfume in John 19. Because even at his birth, the shadow of a cross had already begun to fall across the life of Christ. Well, the first response was worship in Matthew chapter 2. And that's what Matthew records. The center of what the Magi did, more than the long trip, more than the careful seeking out and finding Christ, was that moment when they saw him. The first gospel describes this hallowed moment with such unforgettable words. Listen to Matthew 2. "And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, this scripture you have given us is the tuning fork to tune the chords of our lives into a true hymn of worship to you tonight. The only thing that we can do when we understand who you are is fall before you. acknowledging our unworthiness, acknowledging our poverty, acknowledging your supreme worthiness. May we offer to you worship tonight. And Father, I pray for anyone who's here, certainly in a group of this size tonight. There is someone who has just tagged along to a family gathering. Communion is only for those who are born into your family, born in by confession of lostness, by belief that you're the only sacrifice sufficient to pay for sin, and to confess that to you and receive you by faith. But Father, the invitation is always open. And as we rehearse tonight the wonder of worshiping you, may you stir with conviction and draw by the wonderful divine cords of your love someone who is here in our midst tonight, who's tagged along, perhaps to church all their life, but never yet gotten a new heart. They still love sin more than the Savior. I pray that tonight they'd ask you for a new heart, and this would be the greatest Christmas of their life. In the name of Jesus, prepare us as we look into your word to give you a heart of worship this Christmas Eve. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Worship is a presentation of our gifts to God. The wise men came seeking so far, but when they saw Jesus, they fell down and they opened and presented their gifts. Tonight, we've gathered to renew our focus on Christ. Sometimes the holidays get the focus off. Christmas Eve, we put the focus back on. And as we focus on him, we see three wonderful ways Jesus is revealed as our object of worship, especially on Christmas Eve. First, this Christmas Eve, we worship the one who was born. God become flesh with the hands of God. Think this evening and behold and adore the hands of Christ's love. As baby Jesus lay in that manger the night of his birth, his hands were wrapped securely in the blanket. Do you remember the old English of swaddling cloths as he was tightly bound, which is what that meant? Those hands that once had been so busy were now resting quietly. Those hands that once unfurled the galaxies, fashioned each star, and called each of them by name. Those hands are now pink, soft. A baby. Those hands that are soft and small are the ones that had crafted the mighty mountains, that had dug out the deepest ocean trenches, because before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Christ is God. Those hands that scooped up the rich soil of the garden, that shaped and fashioned the form of Adam into a living soul out of lifeless dirt. Those hands breathed into Adam the breath of life and planted an immortal soul within him. Those hands belong to the Creator. That is why we worship the one who has the hands of God. Jesus the Son was God become flesh, who would willingly defile himself by touching sinners. Lepers would feel the righteous one defile himself by touching them with healing, cleansing. Jesus came into the darkness of our sins to rescue us from the pit of destruction. Those hands that touched cold and lifeless corpses and brought them to life touched each of our cold and lifeless hearts who are his children tonight and gave us life. Second, on Christmas Eve, we worship the one who was born not only with the hands of God, but the one, as they looked at him so tiny, also had the face of God. Behold and adore Christ's face of glory. As the shepherds and later the wise men stood with Joseph and Mary, the face of that newborn baby was so gentle and sweet, but that face had already blazed with the light of the incredible brightness. As John saw him later in Revelation, the face that had the brightness of the sun in its glory, that's the face that Jesus has. Baby Jesus, as God's the Son, was the Creator. He had already been the focus of the adoring gaze of heaven's countless hosts. His face caused the cherubim, those who are closest to him around his throne, to cover their faces. For he was God. His radiance of glory made them bow before him in humility. In Daniel 9, it says that his garments are white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne is a fiery flame, its wheels burning with fire. A fiery stream issues and comes forth from before him. And thousands of thousands minister to him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stand before him. That face of glory, that face so glorious, is now quietly slumbering. That face that had looked at creation and said it was good, that pure, soft, unblemished face nestled close to the warmth of his mother, that face would soon know the sweat and dirt of the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, as he tirelessly crossed them, preaching to his creatures the way of salvation. That face would know the adoring gazes of grateful ones he healed and fed. It would know the deceitful looks of plotters and betraying enemies. It would constantly know the looks of wonder from faltering disciples. But most of all, the loving gaze of the Heavenly Father, as with constant devotion, Jesus knew the Father, saw him, and the only Son as he slipped away for extended times of worship and of prayer. Tonight, we worship. We worship those hands that communicated love, that face that blazed with glory. And remember, that baby fresh face would know the hatred of mankind. And more than any human ever was, Jesus was marred for our sin. His form was more marred than any of the sons of men, Isaiah 53 tells us. But remember that baby Jesus was and is always the Lord of glory. And when John saw his countenance like the sun shining in its strength, Revelation 1 says that when he saw him, he fell at his feet as if dead. Beautiful baby, we worship you as the lamb slain for our sins, with your hands of love, with your face of glory, and with your feet that brought us peace. On this Christmas Eve, as we worship the one who was born with the feet of God, think of his kicking, wriggling feet held in by those swaddling clothes, but they would soon be calloused. Soon Christ's feet would have the dirt of the earth that he had made. That dirt knew that he was the Creator, even though his creatures mostly did not. Those feet would soon crisscross the promised land, seeking and saving lost ones. Those were the same feet that had walked Eden's splendors before mankind had fallen into sin. But those feet would soon be stopped. And in the dead of night, they would rise from kneeling and turn to face a scattering group of disciples and a seething, hatred-filled mob that came to destroy the Prince of Life. Those feet would walk through phony trials, through mock hearings, through wicked dens of torture, and then, with blood drops staining those feet, they would trudge till they collapsed on the road to Calvary. Those feet that had walked the wings of dawn, those feet that had stood in the chariots of the thunder clouds, that had walked with Enoch, that had befriended Abraham, that had crossed the expanse of the universe, those feet that had left the streets of heaven were now crudely to be pushed onto a rough, splintered cross of wood, pressed and held by the hands of one of his own creatures, now stained with sin. The Holy One of God would be spiked to a tree with carpenter's tools, a tree that he had created by a creature he had come to rescue. That was the destiny of those feet of peace, because he was the one that through his death, all those who would by faith embrace him, that would extend their hand of faith to his hands of love, that would look up with worship at his face of glory, that would allow him to be their Prince of Peace. At his feet, all of his children born from above shall bow. As Revelation 5 says, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. They were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Those theologians of Herod's court, they were fools. They didn't really believe the scriptures. Herod was a madman. He believed the scriptures but didn't believe in the one who came. The wise men were majestic. They believed that the infant Savior was God, and it was reckoned to them as righteousness. Tonight we've gathered on Christmas Eve to follow their example, to worship the one who has the hands that express love, the face that shine the glory of God, and the feet that walk to the cross to bring each one who would embrace him as Savior and Lord peace. Tonight, we follow their example, and we worship him. Would you quietly stand with me to prepare for communion? Just stand before the Lord, and with heads bowed, we're going to pray. As you stand, the men are going to prepare to serve us communion. But as they prepare to serve us, as we stand with heads bowed, I want you to listen to the words that we're going to sing in a moment about the hands and face and feet of Christ. Let the words of the hymn we're going to sing in a moment focus your worship tonight as you bow before Christ. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary. There are his feet of peace. Tried by sinful men and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, that's his face of glory, bearing the awesome weight of all my sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, there are his hands of love, wounded and pierced for us. For through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame. He bore the wrath. And we can stand this night forgiven at the cross. Father, may this Christmas Eve, the night we remember that God came to earth, may we remember that you came so that those hands of love could be stretched out to sinners and then stretched out on a cross to take my sin. You gave yourself for me. That's what each of us confess that have been born again. And I pray that more than at any other time, as we commune with you through this bread and through this cup that you left us, may you retune, focus, and fix our hearts upon you. We have gathered to worship you. Inhabit our praises, we ask. We give thanks for the bread, and may we with clean hands hold it, and with pure hearts receive it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and as the men pass the bread to us, we're going to sing those words. And as you sing them, if you haven't yet asked the Lord to cleanse you, if you haven't yet received the assurance of his forgiveness, ask for that. He is here tonight. And he can only receive our worship if we have clean hands and hearts that he's purified. Let's sing to him.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. This the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cross, we stand forgiven at the cross.
I hope that by now you have a little piece of that bread. And just as a testimony to what Christ has done, the song says, we what? Forgiven at the cross? Why don't we stand together in adoration of our King of Kings, who said, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, our Savior, left your throne, humbled yourself, defiled yourself by becoming sin for us, so that you might pour out your blood in the perfect sacrifice to cleanse our sin. And we pray tonight that the greatest gift that we could ever give you, ourself, as adoring, worship-filled servants, would be what we offer through our worship tonight. Thank you for this cup of blessing that portrays your blood. We who are forgiven, bless your name. The name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, the men are going to pass the cup to us, and we're going to sing one more wonderful hymn to the Lord.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. But in lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. The foxes found rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the forest tree. But thy couch was the sod, O thou Son of God, in the deserts of Galilee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word that should set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. When the anthems shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory, let my voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. And my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when thou comest and callest for me.
Let's see. I don't see any more movement. Boy, it is very dark out there. So I think everybody has a cup. Take your cup. This is called in the New Testament the cup of blessing. You know, that's why I tell people that they're a blessing. Anybody that is saved has received the greatest blessing. And to know Christ is the greatest blessing. And to love Him and to see others love Him is the greatest blessing. And all that is because Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant that is in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming, dying, paying the price of sin, and rising for our salvation. Bless us as we remember the night that you, as God, came to earth. May, as we go from this place, we go out reflecting your face of glory, becoming your hands of love, and walking through life with your feet of peace, being peacemakers and spreading the gospel of peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you take your candles now, we're going to conclude our service with these candles. And I just want to show you something. I do this every year, but there just might be one person that wasn't here, so I'm going to say it again. Once your candle is lit, always keep it this direction, okay? For several reasons. We don't want to burn anybody, and also we do not want to have anyone get wax on your beautiful clothes or over our beautiful pews, okay? So please, every year when they're tipped, it just gets all over the place, and then everybody has to work extra hard. So this is what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to start the lighting process, and I'm going to light the men are already lit. I'm not going to light anybody tonight. How do you like that? You guys are great. You are the most efficient group I've ever seen. It usually takes us 10 minutes to light them. You can all stand, and as they come to your row, if you're unlit, hold it this direction, and once you get lit, go to the person next to you, unlit, lit, like that, and as we do that process and slowly light this whole worship place, John Althoff's going to come and lead us in our closing song.
Round yon verge.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us as the light of the world. I hope these candles tonight remind you that each one of us go from here, possessors of the light of life, if you are in Christ, to go into a dark world and to tell people that don't even know what this holiday is all about God who became flesh to die for us. God bless you as you go. Extinguish your candle before you do so. Let's all do it together. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Now let's go out and be a light for the Lord. God bless you this Christmas Eve.